Endless love. Just what is endless love? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Endless love. All of us think that we know how to love. We think we know how to be happy and be joyous and be good with other people. We think that we are very noble and very wonderful beings, and that our lives stimulate the world to harmony, peace, balance, unconditional love, and other good things. And yet, we always seem to have an end to love. Love seems to have a bad rap. And it's not only love has a bad rap, it's the name love that has a bad rap. People get falling in love, and they fall out of love. People have sexual intercourse, and they call that making love. Animals are loving one another. They're gentle, kind to one another. The word love and all of these meaningful appellates that are given to it are far from the truth, are far from what love really means. We can describe love from many different points of view, and we will always come up wanting very sadly. Because whenever we think of love, we think of possession. Whenever we think of love, we think of a deep inner feeling, a joy of harmony. We think of many satisfying moments. We think of having a relationship. True love is none of those things, believe it or not. True love is when you delight in life. You delight in the fact that you are created out of the infinite creative cause of which you are, and you as this creation of the infinite creative cause are good and very good. You are all. You are the totality of everything that exists in life. You're the reality of everything that exists. There's nothing that exists beyond you or for you. And when you look at another person and you say, oh, what a beautiful person, what a lovely person, what a thoughtful, caring, fine person that is, and you fall in love with that person, you are not falling in love with that person. You are falling in love with the reflection of who you are. You are falling in love with yourself as the only thing that you can do. Because that person, life that exists around us, is but a reflection of what we have claimed is the truth for ourselves. What is it that you have claimed is the truth for yourself? Have you claimed that a person, a relationship, is the truth for yourself, that it is something that belongs to you, something that is part of your nature? Have you looked at your own family? If you're a parent and you have children, do you look at your children? And the word a love child is a child that's born out of wedlock and is a child that is just born because two people were making love. Well, what a sad and what an unfortunate reference it is to that. Any child that is born in the purest and most noble love, regardless of wedlock or not. This is just something that mankind has put upon itself to say that this is how it has to be. And there are benefits to it, that's for sure. There are many benefits to it that the law and the way that religion and philosophy all come together about it. But these benefits are not the reality. The reality of love is so integral in our being that we often forget it. Love is the melding of one cell with another to form the human body. Love is the peace that you feel when all things are in divine order, in balance, in harmony, in right order. Love is the inner awareness that comes to every single being when they wake up to the fact that they are divine. If we ever wake up to the realization that we are divine, we are in bliss, that's love. That's love. You say, well, Herb, you're merely making a definition, you're merely coming to different definitions for the word love and for the term love and for what love encompasses. No, I'm not. True love is something that can never have a physiological purpose to it. It can never have a attitude to it that we give to it because it is a human response. True love far excels all of these avenues and virtues. True love is something so spectacular, so beautiful, so wonderful that it just boggles the mind to even consider it. Could you think of anything more beautiful than beautiful? Could you think of anything more holy than holy? Could you think of anything more wonderful than being divine? Could you think of an experience, and we use again a word to define it, can you think of an experience more wonderful than to be in a state of bliss? Well, it is hard to contemplate such an aspect because we have made it into a humanization aspect. Well, true, language is a human terminology. Language is a human aspect, and love is a human word. Divine is transcending the human. Bliss truly is transcending the human. And this is what we endeavor to do every time we use the word love. We want to transcend the human. We want to transcend the limitations of the mortal experience and move on into something far greater and more wonderful. We use the term very freely and openly, unconditional love. Now, how could you have the term unconditional love if love itself is beyond all conditions? You cannot describe anything of love's nature with a condition. Unconditional just doesn't really belong to the word love. But yet, it gives us a start. It gives us a start in the direction of what love really is. Does bliss have any conditions about it? Try to define that. Try to describe that. Try to describe bliss and say what its features are. And you're very hard-pressed to do it. Very difficult to do. Try to define divine and see what sort of features it has. And now, in that same light, define love and see if you can find any values, any features, any understanding, any comprehension in the word or the term love. I often say to the students of the University of Healing, love is something that we have no control over because we are love and we love all without any condition, without any relevance to it, without any understanding to it. But the word like takes on a totally different aspect. Like is human. Do you like that person? Do you like what they do? Do you like the things they think and say? Do you like them? Well, that has nothing to do with love. To like is to have someone who fits into your philosophy, who fits into your attitude of life, who fits into your thinking. But to love someone is beyond that. When a mother loves a child, she's coming closer to the universal aspect of love, because the child is that of the mother, and the mother cannot say, I do not love my child. For if the mother were to say that, she indeed would be saying to the world, that is not my child. That is not mine. Because the aspect of parenthood, the aspect of motherhood, the aspect of fatherhood, these things at all speak so strongly of a universal principle. They speak so strongly of a blissful situation. But when the child is bad, that doesn't make any difference. You never stop loving them. You can't. You can't. When the child is not divine, the child is always divine. The child is always blissful. It's you and me who look at the child, who look at anyone, and see them less than blissful or less than divine. And that is only what we do for an instant. And when we return to our original purity and integrity, when we return to who we really are, then we see the child, we see the people in our life as being beautiful, being pure love, being wonderful, beyond all words. We are judgmentalists. We are unable to judge ourselves or anyone else. We are unable to determine what is divine or what is not divine, what is love and what is not love. We are unable to determine what conditions are unconditional in unconditional love. We have no capacity to understand that whatsoever. And yet we use the terms sort of simply and without any thought, and it's unfortunate. For to use the word, as they say, the name of God in vain, to use that term, we say that we are God because God created us and we are God and God created itself in all that it is. And we come to the point, are we all of God? Are we expressing the divinity of God? Or are we expressing an aspect of God? And does God have all aspects? True. Does man have all aspects? True. Does love have all aspects? No. Does peace have all aspects? No. Does bliss have all aspects? No. Each of these words are indescribable from a human point of view. From a human point of view, we would say like instead of love. From a human point of view, we'd say it's a lot of fun for bliss. From a human point of view, we would say it's very good for divine. We have the privilege of living from our highest and our best. We have the privilege of living from our divine nature, from living from that which is our most beautiful and most wonderful aspect of our being, if we choose. And we have that privilege, but that privilege brings with it a great responsibility. Can a parent ever disown their child? Never. Can a divine being ever see anything less in its creation and its world about it than itself? Never. Does God ever see anything in the universe less than itself? Not at all. When things seem less than their divine nature, what is seen is a relative, temporary illusion that may appear real for a moment, but when its original purity and integrity are recognized, that illusion quickly fades away and the divinity remains the reality forever. Join with me in thinking seriously about words before using them, in thinking about what is bliss, what is divine, what is God. And in thinking about these things, remember every time you speak the word with bliss, with divine, with God. You are being as noble as a human can be. So long as you define these words as principle, as love that is beyond all measure, it just is. Join me in seeking to make this claim for myself and for yourself today, that I am that I am. I am the divine God in all, living in bliss, living in love, living now. Thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you in my world, because I love you. I love you. I love you.